I am Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie, and I sound like I sat on a cattle prod.
Okay, there's a mental image I didn't need.
Speaking of a mental image,
guest just got up and ran out the door.
Come back. We have Max Nunez.
That's right.
Did I get it right?
Correct.
Amazing.
And apparently from where he lives, weather threatens aviation.
Oh. I'm going to get you, my pretty.
Well, true. You think about it, weather is a constant threat to aviation. We just managed to fly around most of it.
Yeah, or if we're really smart, we just stay on the ground that day.
That's even better at times.
I'm not that smart.
Me neither. I let everybody else do it.
So, Max, talk about weather threats to aviation. Clear air.
Sure.
Very threatening? What's 1 to 10?
Not so much. Unless there's a clear air turbulence.
Right. That never
happens. Incident going on. Yeah, of course not.
Well, I fly paramotor. Clear air is a threat. Everything's a threat.
Oh, sure. Well, I can tell you a little bit about my day-to-day.
You know,
I'm a forecaster from the Aviation Weather Center
based
in Kansas City. Yep, we get that, too, from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
My day-to-day operations is outlining hazardous flying conditions from turbulence to icing to thunderstorms, low ceilings and visibilities. We do the best we can to make life as easy as possible for the aviation community when it's all said and done.
Let's talk about icing. Icing is more prevalent in winter, summer. I mean, they talk about temperature dew point spread. The narrower it gets, the more humidity you got in the air, the more possibility for icing, correct?
Correct.
Now, I'm thinking more like carburetor icing, not necessarily wing icing. Mm-hmm. But it holds true for that as well?
It does, yes. So, it is seasonal. Not to say that it can't happen in the summer, but those freezing levels recede northwards just with the way summer works and such, and high freezing levels in the summer, low in the winter. But you get a pocket of supercooled water droplets that hover within a cloud layer, and if a plane catches in that layer just right, it can collect on the freeze on contact of the wings, it ruined the aerodynamics, and it can be disastrous.
Yeah, it can be a very bad day.
Yeah.
Make everybody upset.
You know, that is one of the things that I've always worried about is icing. I was on a flight one time where we did pick up some ice, and I'm looking at that thinking, fortunately, it had a happy ending.
Yeah.
The ice went away.
Yep. We contacted ATC and...
And they made the ice go away?
Well, what they did was they got us out of the clouds that were causing the ice. We had to take a turn because of traffic. And my buddy who was flying, he said, yeah, we'll take the turn. He wanted to get up to 5,000 feet and out of the clouds. And as soon as we were out of the clouds, poof, gone.
How do you prepare a forecast? Is it the spin wheel dartboard method, or you got something a little better?
The
now?
Digital Ouija board?
We actually have those paper fortune tellers.
Do
the count.
The magic eight ball.
Yeah, the magic eight ball. It's going to rain today.
No, so I mean, day to day, we're looking at satellite. We're looking at the radio sonde data that we get from the weather balloon releases, and then take a look at the operational model guidance, which simulates forward what's going to occur in the atmosphere. And we have, advisory products that we issue, and then we have warning products, the SIGMETs, that we also issue for severe conditions.
Okay. You guys use radio sounds. You know, how many of those you launch per day? Because I've never, ever seen one.
It's two a day at about 50-something sites. Spread about the lower 48 United States at the forecast offices.
Okay.
At select ones. There's about 122 total forecast offices.
Okay, so these are not released at airports?
Generally not.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And you're aware of all the Victor Airways and stuff, too, so that you keep these things clear of any traffic that may be flying by at higher altitudes.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that side of things. But, yeah, it's twice a day, 0 to 12Z. And it is crucial because it collects raw data from the atmosphere and what's occurring from several different points. And from there, we're able to excuse me, we're able to interpolate what's going to occur in the future hours.
Yeah, I think you'd probably rather have one an hour because a lot of happens in 12 hours.
No, for sure. I mean, that's it wouldn't hurt, right?
Yeah. Well, there'd be an awful lot of radio signs floating around, wouldn't there?
There'd be it'd be raining balloons, you know, before you know it.
Oh, so, no, not again.
After this thing does its job, what happens to it? Where does it go? Where
Some little kid up? Grabs it off the ground, takes it apart, and makes something else out of it.
Sure. So, I believe that they can climb as high as 110,000 plus feet or so before they do eventually pop. By then, they can grow to be the size of a house. So what starts as a 6-foot-ish, you know, circumference balloon, excuse me, it grows to the size of the house by the time it's that high in the atmosphere. Pops, makes its way down, and, you know, before, from what I understand, they weren't ever generally recovered. But, you know, they make them biodegradable now and such. So I think the newer ones, I have yet to see that happen in person. But, they biodegrade now.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm surprised they don't have a little GPS on there to tell you guys where to go get it.
Sure. Yeah, you know, and several of our forecasters that have experience working at those forecast offices could probably speak a little bit better detail as to everything that goes in and out with the weather balloon launches per day. I'm strictly... my experience is mostly with just the raw, like, aviation forecasting at the National Center.
I wonder how many Lego men have been flown on those radio sounds.
I would, you know, that would be interesting to find out. You know, and the other thing is, speaking of recovery, if the general public is out hiking in the woods and finds one of these things, is there a label on there so that they can send it back to you?
There is something on there for sure. I believe there's something along the in the messaging along the lines of, like, non-hazardous instrument, National Weather Service.
No user serviceable parts inside.
Yeah,
nothing sneaky from, nothing malicious, right?
Right, nothing to inspire fear.
I was going to say, you know, reward if found. You send it back, you get $20.
There you go.
So well, shoot, I better get the ball rolling on that.
Yeah, really.
Let's get that. Yeah, start that.
Well, everybody's all about, doggone it. Everybody's always talking about recycling. It wouldn't be bad if you guys could reuse a few of them.
Well, you know, these guys are masters at recycling. They recycle the weather every day.
Oh, I hate when they do that sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, look, another thunderstorm.
Oh, boy, more Canadian smoke.
Yeah. Now, where do SIGMETs and AIRMETs are issued? Are they issued, like, on a website? Can I go look them up somewhere?
Yeah, all day, every day. You can find our products at the aviationweather.gov, our website. That's probably the most convenient way for the general public to see what's out there and see what's anticipated. On our webpage.
Okay. Can you generate custom forecasts? Like, I pop in my zip code, and then it goes, okay, in your area, we expect this. Are you guys got that kind of resolution?
Yeah, we do have a useful tool on our webpage there where you can customize a flight plan and input your point A to point B, your airport codes, and it will draw a flight path on our map for you. And you can do this on our observations tab. You can also do it under our prog charts, which I've come to find out as this week's progressed that is a very popular feature on our webpage. A lot of pilots love just the classic prog charts. So, but anywho, you can get that flight path drawn up and then play forward in time what's anticipated. Okay. And I think we've gotten a lot of positive feedback in general about everything that you can use our website for to just develop a flight path for yourself.
Sounds good to
me. Well, I imagine that while you're trying to project what the weather is going to be, one of the worst things that can happen is that you get a major squall line that covers like half the country. Because that's going to affect everybody.
Oh, yeah. A widespread multi-state event with organized thunderstorms is going to carry a plethora of weather aviation hazards, not just with the lightning and hail and rain threat, but you're also going to have turbulence related to the anvil vertical growing clouds, and icing's going to also be a threat. it's kind of an all-encompassing hazard. So when you get the worldwide spread events, it can be very disruptive to the traffic flow.
How do you guys you can't really forecast pop-ups. You can just say that conditions will be favorable for pop-up storms. Is that what you would say on an average hot summer day?
Yeah, generally, starting out, yeah, it's the way I would phrase it is, because you get the pop-ups with the surface heating that builds through the day, destabilizes the environment, and so on. So, but it's generally, you know, they it's generally tagged with a 20, 30, maybe 40% chance, and that's more of a coverage number to look at, where there will be pop-ups around, but where you exactly are at. What is the percentage that you get hit?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, certainly, like, there will be some activity around, but I mean, I am not a pilot, but generally, in those conditions, there's a way to safely mitigate that risk and, you know, move around as needed.
Right. Fly around it, or just don't fly.
Or just wait don't fly.
Wait for it to pass by.
Yeah. I mean, if it's hammering down where you're trying to depart from, the waiting game's probably the best path.
Yes. I flew into Dallas once on a connecting flight, and first we sat for 2 hours in the airport, then they stuck us on the plane and we sat for another hour. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, weather is something that you can't control. Everybody complains about it, but nobody fixes it.
Yeah, have you ever noticed that? Nobody ever does a darn thing about it.
Yeah, I mean, I try to just be the messenger, right? And, you know, I wish I could wish cast for everyone and give and, you know, make the forecast what we want.
I like that. I got to remember that.
Wish, yeah.
Oh, wish cast. Yeah. I like wish cast.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds like an ex-girlfriend.
What was that? Wingardium Leviosa.
What?
Come on, you watch Harry Potter.
Occasionally.
That's a classic Hermione Granger line.
Yeah. Okay, well, sue me. I'm more into Star Trek.
All right. Well, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And we've been speaking with Max Nunez from Aviation Weather Group or something like that. This is EAA Radio.